When we reached home and told Mama and Papa and Big Ma what had happened, Mama said to Mr. Morrison, "I told you before I was afraid for you. And today, Caleb Wallace could have hurt you and the children." Mr. Morrison looked squarely into Mama's eyes. "Ms. Logan, Caleb Wallace is one of them folks who can't do nothing by himself. He got to have a lot of other folks backing him up, plus a loaded gun. And I knew there wasn't no gun, leastwise, not in the truck. I checked. But if you stay, he'll get somebody, and they'll try to take you, like he said. Ms. Logan, don't ask me to go." Mama reached out, laying a slender hand on Mr. Morrison's. "Mr. Morrison, you're a part of us now. I don't want you hurt because of us." Mr. Morrison lowered his eyes and looked around the room until his gaze rested on the boys and me. "I ain't never had no children of my own. I think sometimes if I had, I'd have wanted a son and a daughter, just like you and Mr. Logan, and grandbabies like these babies of yours. But Mr. Morrison, the Wallaces..." "Mary," Papa said quietly, "let it be." Mama looked at Papa, her lips still poised to speak. Then she said no more, but the worry lines remained creased upon her brow. August dawned blue and hot. The heat swooped low over the land, clinging like an invisible shroud, and through it people moved slowly, lethargically, as if underwater. In the ripening fields, the drying cotton and corn stretched tiredly skyward, awaiting the coolness of a rain that occasionally threatened, but didn't come, and the land took on a baked brown look. To escape the heat, the boys and I often ambled into the coolness of the forest after the chores were done. There, while the cows and their calves grazed nearby, we sat on the banks of the pond, our backs propped against an old hickory or pine or walnut, our feet dangling lazily in the cool water, and waited for a watermelon brought from the garden to chill. Sometimes Jeremy joined us there, making his way through the deep forest land from his own farm over a mile away. But the meetings were never planned. None of our parents would have liked that. "How's your papa?" he asked one day as he plopped down beside us.
"He's all right," said Stacy, "'ceptin' his legs bothering him in this heat.
Itching a lot. But Mama says that's a sign it's getting well."
"That's good," murmured Jeremy. "Too bad he had to get hurt when he done so's he couldn't go back on the railroad."
Stacy stirred uneasily, looked at Christopher John, Little Man, and me, reminding us with his eyes that we were not to speak about the Wallace's part in Papa's injury, and said only, "Uh-huh." Jeremy was silent a moment, then stuttered,
"Some folks saying they glad he got hurt. Glad he can't go make that railroad money."
"Who said that?" I cried, jumping up from the bank. "Just tell me who said it and I'll ram..."
"Cassie, sit down and be quiet," Stacy ordered. Reluctantly, I did as I was told, wishing that this business about the Wallaces and Papa's injuries weren't so complex. It seemed to me that since the Wallaces had attacked Papa and Mr. Morrison, the simplest thing to do would be to tell the sheriff and have them put in jail. But Mama said things didn't work that way. She explained that as long as the Wallaces, embarrassed by their injuries at the hands of Mr. Morrison, didn't make an official complaint about the incident, then we must remain silent also. If we didn't, Mr. Morrison could be charged with attacking white men, which could possibly end in his being sentenced to the chain gang, or worse.
I ain't the one said it, Cassie, stammered Jeremy by way of apology.
Well, whoever saying it ought not be, I said huffily.
Jeremy nodded thoughtfully and changed the subject.
Y'all seen TJ lately?
Stacy frowned, considering whether or not he should answer. There'd been much talk concerning TJ and the Sims brothers, all of it bad. Mo Turner's father had told Papa that TJ had stopped by with the Simses once, and after they had left, he had discovered his watch missing. The Laniers had had the same experience with a locket.
That TJ done turned real bad,
Mr. Lanier had said. And I don't want nothing to do with no thief, especially no thief running around with white boys. Finally, Stacy said, don't see him much no more. Jeremy pulled at his lip. I see him all the time. Too bad, I sympathized. Stacy glanced reproachfully at me, then lay flat upon the ground, his head resting in the cushion of his hands clasped under his head. It sure is beautiful up there, he said, pointedly changing the subject again. The rest of us lay back, too. Overhead, the branches of the walnut and hickory trees met like long green fans sheltering us. Several feet away, the persistent sun made amber roads of shimmering sunlight upon the pond. A stillness hovered in the high air, soft, quiet, peaceful. I think when I grow up, I'm gonna build me a house and some trees and just live there all the time, said Jeremy. How you gonna do that? Asked little man. Oh, I'll find me some real strong trees and just build. I figure I'll have the trunk of one tree in the bedroom and the other in the kitchen. How come you want to live in a tree for? Christopher John inquired. It's so peaceful up there and quiet. Cool, too, answered Jeremy, especially at night. How you know how cool it is at night, I said. Jeremy's face brightened. 'Cause I got my bedroom up there. We looked at him unbelieving. I do, really. Built it myself, and I sleeps up there. Come these hot nights, I just climbs in my tree, and it's like going into another world. Why, I can see and hear things up there that I bet you only the squirrels and the birds can see and hear. Sometimes I think I can even see all the way over to y'all's place. Oh, shoot. Boy, you're a story, I said. Your place too far away and you know it. Jeremy's face dropped. Well, maybe I can't see it, but that don't keep me from pretending I do. He was silent a second, then hopped up suddenly, his face bright again. Hey, why don't y'all come on over and see it? My pa's gonna be gone all day, and it'd be lots of fun, and I could show y'all. No, said Stacy quietly, his eyes still on the trees overhead. Jeremy sat back down, deflated. Just wanted y'all to see it, that's all. For a while, he looked hurt by Stacy's cold refusal. Then, seeming to accept it as part of the things that were, he again took up his position and volunteered good-naturedly. If y'all ever get a chance to build yourselves a treehouse, just let me know. And I'll help you. It's just as cool